Welcome to the Friends Are Forming
Animation Forum.
Here we are.
I am
really excited by my blood flowing through my veins. Colonizations. On today's show, we have voice actor extraordinaire Sean Kennan.
Shawnee boy.
Most recently in the new feature film adaptation of everyone's favorite 80s cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's not Strawberry Shortcake, which is hard for me. The Smurfs. That movie's not even out yet, and we're recording.
No, it's not even out.
We got some inside info.
The fucking scoop, yo.
On this mega blockbuster that I think is going to win a Canadian Genie Award.
I'm sure it's already coming first several weekends in a row at the box office.
It's going to get the Moscow Sickle.
Okay.
And, of course,
a Peabody. The Brazilian Thong.
And a Brazilian Thong. So, he's going to be on in a little bit, and then we're going to talk. Words are going to come out. They're going to go into brains to be thought about.
Yeah.
Some sort of process is going to happen in the gray matter.
Okay.
And feelings will be shed, thought about, distributed, and coalesced.
Yeah.
Into a comprehension sensation.
I like that. That's good.
We'll leave people happy, relaxed, and looking for more.
Okay.
So, let's get on with it.
I don't even want to do a check-in with you and see how you've been and what you're doing. I just want to go straight to Sean.
Let's bring him in, computer! Yeah. Bring in Sean Kennan.
Yeah.
Here he comes, and there he is! Hello.
Hey. Hello. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Wow, you have a very friendly studio audience.
Yeah.
Lots of two hands clapping.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I only have room for two people in here, so it's good.
It was very nice to see you not clap for yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I appreciate
that.
Many people do that.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Immediate turn off. We like how humble you are already.
Oh, well, thank you. That's one of my best qualities is my humility.
Do you practice not clapping?
Is that weird to brag about one's own humility?
I don't think so.
I think that balances you out exactly. Yeah. Right. So we brought you here. I mean, you brought yourself here, which was even easier.
My own volition.
Yeah, because usually, you know, trying to carry people, random people on the sidewalk up the stairs.
But I appreciate that you offered.
Thank you.
That was nice. Thank you.
Now, of course, we're going to get into your whole world of animation knowledge, voice acting, animation, the love of animation itself.
Yes.
But with all the projects that you've worked on, I am pretty impressed with a little DIY home improvement project that you just did.
Oh, my kitchen.
Yeah. Now that, Alan,
this is a feat.
I built a wall in my kitchen.
You built a wall?
I built a kitchen.
Built a kitchen in one day, was it?
No. It was clearly like a week.
It was one day.
I had a day.
One long day.
I had a day to build it.
Yeah.
And I used a week to build it.
Yeah, okay.
And then I traveled back in time to the next day
to do it in.
What was the total cost?
Total cost was $300.
New wall to build a whole kitchen.
The super gave me free cabinets.
Oh.
So I put in a new wall. I got some plywood from Lowe's, and I put in a new wall. I painted it. I put the refrigerator up against a different wall. I gave myself some new cabinets from some of the renovations that were happening in our building. They had leftover cabinets, so I got new cabinets for free. And I had a friend who was able to come in, and for free he came in and sawed the countertops for me, specific sizes. Outstanding.
Now,
I got so much love.
You should have talked to me first because I was thinking about knocking down a wall. I could have given you that wall.
Oh, man.
You didn't have to build it.
Damn it.
I know.
I always consult.
Can you get a wall? When someone knocks down a wall, is that wall still usable?
Of course.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Take a sawzall, find where the beams are, cut where they're not, cut out a whole little chunk, full structure, even leave the electrical work. And just rewire and put in whatever gap.
Now, Alan, I've seen your kitchen.
Yes.
You were taking out a wall?
I was going to take out that whole wall.
The whole wall. There's one whole wall.
There's one wall. I was going to take it out.
The major support beam
right.
structure.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Just take it out.
I was just going to take that out. Is that bad?
I don't think there are four walls in that kitchen. I was trying to think. No, so, yes.
There's the one wall.
Yeah, the only one. It just keeps going.
Yeah, does your super know...
That would be nice.
Your super who gave you the cabinets, does your super know that you put up a wall?
He does. He does. He's a nice guy.
God, he's a nice guy.
That is exactly what he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
He's a super, and he flies.
I'm fired, now I'm hired again. Now, Sean.
Yes.
You have worked on a project in a unique capacity for the film The Smurfs Take Manhattan.
It is just the Smurfs.
Go ahead.
The Smurfs
in
movie.
Manhattan. It's the Smurfs in
the Smurfs in Manhattan. Yes, okay. And yes, and I think Papa Smurf marries Miss Piggy at the end.
Okay,
I don't want to give anything away.
Just like the cartoon. Now, before we get into this, you have seen the movie.
I have seen the movie.
It's not out.
It's done. They finished with it, and it's not out for anyone else yet.
Right.
I have seen it.
Oscar material or Oscar Mayer material?
You know what? There should be a special
popcorn film,
little blue Oscar made. You know, like the little Oscars that were made for Snow White,
right?
Yeah.
Like they made like real Oscars for that.
Yeah.
They should make like little blue Smurf looking Oscars for it.
Okay.
99 of them.
And also,
because apparently they're 99 Smurfs. So that would be a big job for somebody.
There's only 99 Smurfs.
But yeah, that's what I hear. The legend goes.
Oh, okay.
99 and one female.
The legend goes.
Yeah, actually, that's not true. The Smurflings who came on later, there's a little girl Smurf. But she was not of childbearing age.
Yeah, but they're all made by magic is the idea. So I don't understand, like, because
the Smurfs are all made by
made by magic. Papa Smurf makes them with magic.
Weird.
Yeah. He
makes them like, well, and then Gargamel made Smurfette.
Okay.
She was evil.
Yes.
Dark hair.
To trick.
Then blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because Papa made her a real Smurf.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So.
He smurfed her hair.
I really don't know enough about the Smurfs, I guess.
Yeah, see? I mean, you learn a lot.
Yeah.
You learn a lot when you visit the Smurf Village for 12 weeks.
Now, is it hard being in the Smurf Village, being a regular-sized human?
What was nice is they came here. They came to New York. They entered our world, and I didn't have to do much visiting in the Smurf Village. Although when I was there, it was a lot more bare than it looks on screen. I don't know. I guess it just translates differently.
Now,
in picture.
Now, we're going to get into your voice acting in this film. One quick question, though.
My voice acting doesn't exist in this film, but my voice acting helped create this
film. The unique capacity you played in the success of the Oscar-winning
movie. That you were like the Papa Smurf
I was like made. I was made from pure magic.
Okay,
and then I gave voice to Smurfs in an evil way, I guess. And then the celebrities came in and they did what Papa Smurf.
Okay,
did
here we go.
No idea what I'm talking about.
Here we go. We're getting into it. This is it.
Let's talk about it.
All right.
Okay. Let's talk about in the initial call.
Yeah. Oh well. Okay. So my agent.
Set a scene. Where were you?
What were you eating?
What were you wearing?
Well, I was.
Why were you crying?
Where was I? I was lonely.
Mm.
It was cold, and I was lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been drinking.
Oh,
and my agent called me, and he said, "I've got an interesting audition for you." And I said, "Okay." And he's like, "It's for the Smurfs movie." And I said, "Sign me up," you know, because that's going to be something big. Columbia Pictures are getting together to make this movie, and they want somebody there who's an animation actor who can do a lot of voices. And I'm thinking score. Mm-hmm. I've just scored
big time.
Big time. So I show up, and I still did score big time, but follow me.
And luckily, because you as a profession are a voice actor.
Yeah.
I'm a voice actor. I like to do a lot of different characters. Mm. It's one of the things you don't get to do a whole lot in New York City. A lot of animation happens on the West Coast. A lot of animation happens for celebrities, and it's hard to, you know, get those jobs. Do a lot of, like, commercials in New York as a voice actor. So I get this audition. I go in. There's a lot of improv. There's a lot of playing lots of different Smurf characters. They want you to come up with a voice for everybody. Brainy, a Smurf called Gutsy. I don't know if you guys know about Gutsy. Gutsy Smurf is
that a Scottish one?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So Gutsy Smurf he's Scottish, right? Because if you're going to be gutsy,
right,
you're going to be Scottish.
That's right.
That's right.
It's very. It's the gutsiest thing to wear
a kilt
and no undies.
Gutsy.
Exactly.
Especially free balling
in a village full of boys.
Right.
I'm a man.
And really powerful sewer great fans.
Exactly. And he's got red hair. He's the only one with hair. He's the only one with, like, he's got full-on chops.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Red. Does he wear chops. A kilt, too?
Oh, he wears a kilt.
All right. Is it
he
white?
He sports the kilt. He's got the kilt over the white pants. He's got the traditional Scottish Smurfs from the Highlands of Smurfville.
Of course.
And then he's got the pants underneath.
Why?
Because you got to have the traditional pant. You know,
otherwise,
pants.
Yep.
Now, I know this is getting off subject a little bit, but so Smurfs in this version go into Manhattan, so in their Smurf village. But how could you have a Scottish accented Smurf?
Yeah.
Well, the village is huge.
Oh,
it's huge.
Bigger than what we saw on TV in the 80s.
It's massive.
Okay.
It's a lot of different regions,
an entire
different
part
dialects.
Of the forest. Exactly.
Yeah.
You got like, they have like a, you know, the Handy Smurf is sort of a Jeff Foxworthy-ish type thing. It's actually Jeff Foxworthy, so it's not even ish.
Yeah.
It's just him. And then you've got, you know, a baker, no, is it baker? Chef? Chef. Chef Smurf is Wolfgang Puck.
Oh.
So he's got the German, like the, Austrian sort of thing happening, you know?
Do that.
And then you've got, but none of these Smurfs speak those languages. They just speak in accents. So, I mean, I think it's just the area of town that they're from.
Is it, is Smurf Village like another dimension parallel to our reality? All over the world.
I think it's the past. It's the past. It's Belgium in the past.
Oh.
And so, you know, there is an event that has to bring a few of them, not all of them. Because that would kill any budget.
Right.
It's a 99 celebrities. Too. I mean, you know, you're going to destroy. Yeah. So it brings some of them to New York. An event.
Okay.
Imagine an event.
Oh, my God. It's...
That brings them.
Now, Gargamel...
Is it like a premiere party or...
Oh, yes. They're having a... I think they're doing the premiere today.
No, I meant, is that the event that brought them here?
Yes. That's it brought some people here today. But you know what? I decided not to go to the premiere today.
What?
Really?
And I came here.
It's
a good thing.
I mean, I might have been invited. I might not have been invited. But you know,
I saw the invitation. I saw you. You showed me the invitation, and then you ripped it up.
That's right.
You burned it.
I said, you know what? I have plans.
Mm-hmm.
I have plans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He held it up. He set it on fire, and he said, "Who do they fucking think I am?"
Yeah,
exactly. There, it was set in stone. This was set in stone. I was like, I'm not moving that. I'm not moving that. I got too many people counting on me.
It was weird to see you, though.
Two people
that's right.
counting.
In a full Smurf costume.
People. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're definitely a fan. Like,
all right. Can we go back to the story of how we got the job? I'm still hung up on this in my head.
Okay. So you got the call from your agent.
I want to know what happened.
So I got the call from the agent. Yeah. I show up. And I auditioned for the director and the producer. I mean, the director and the executive producer, the two incredible guys.
And
Raja Gosnell.
Names?
Raja Gosnell is the director. He's worked on Beverly Hills Chihuahua. He worked on Home Alone 3. I think he worked on Charlotte's Web.
Hotel for Dogs.
Where he met, what's that?
Hotel for Dogs.
I don't know if he did have Hotel for Dogs. I'm not sure.
Hotel Rwanda?
Hotel Rwanda. I think he saw that movie.
Okay.
I think he saw it. Definitely. And then Jordan Kerner. Jordan Kerner is he's an executive producer. He worked with Raja. Worked with Raja on Charlotte's Web. Mm. And I mean, he's been doing stuff since like Fried Green Tomatoes.
Wow.
So this is a guy
since
who
that
like
dish was
yes,
invented.
He yes, wow. exactly. He's right. he's and he's Timeless. Somebody who like really wants to make. He's been he. This is the guy. Jordan Kerner is the guy who has been writing the Peo family. For like the past 13, 14
Peo
years.
Being
the creator of Smurfs. Mm. And it has been his dream to like bring it to the big screen. And originally it was going to be a 2D animated thing, and then it became a 3D animated thing in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he wanted to make it happen, and it's been like through his like hard work and you know determination to bring it to the screen. So I auditioned for these two guys. Who are amazing, and I auditioned with a friend of mine, auditioning against a friend of mine, the last two people to be called back were myself and this friend of mine named Darren DePaul, also a very talented voice actor. And they basically bring us in and have us improvise. Characters. Like multiple characters at once together.
So what they would say? All right, you're Papa and you're Handy and you're talking about.
And we weren't together actually. We were there with the casting director. The casting director was one character, and then they had us improvise other characters
and
around
did you,
them.
Did you know going in that you were doing this all character situation for the other cast members?
I knew I was auditioning for multiple characters.
Okay,
and then my agent, you know, informed me that this audition entailed, they wanted somebody there on the set who was going to play all of the Smurfs for the entire filming of the movie. So, I'm sorry, all the Smurfs minus Smurfette, and they were going to also have a woman play Clumsy so that she had, like, and, you know, stuff to do. Also, a very talented voice actor named Ming Li Chen. She was on the set with me all the time. Very cool. So we got called back. We go to this audition, and we're improvising the entire thing, because in a movie sometimes you improvise, sometimes you make up stuff, and that was I got a final call back for that, and my first day on the set was actually had to be entirely improvised. I had no script in my hand.
Really,
it was like it was trial by fire. It was. So I was incredibly excited to get this job, and then I go in, and there's a camera pass, and it's a camera pass of an empty window, and Raja basically says, he said, Sean, come on over here, and I was like, okay, sure. I come on over, I've got my script in my hand, I'm ready to go, because typically, you know, I'd be reading from the script, and like knowing what the scene breakdown was, and like, you know, preparing things off in the corner until he like said, hey, come on over.
Right.
But he's like, this is a camera pass a window. The Smurfs are on the window. They're worried about Papa. He's looking for something. So they're worried about him. It's Gutsy, Brainy, Clumsy,
Douchey?
And Grouchy. No. And Hipster Smurf, I think, was the one they had.
Okay.
They've also added him for the film. So the four of them, and we don't really have any dialogue for this, but they're worried about Papa, so just come up with something. It's 30 seconds. Just go. And like,
really?
You know, and basically says, come up with this thing. And I'm like, and you know, the first, I would say full five seconds of camera pass, my brain is just going
frozen,
like it's screaming. And like, there's like a feedback loop of like the word fuck, like just in my head. And then I like came up with something, and it starts coming out, and I have characters interacting with each other, and I'm making up dialogue for everybody. And he laughs, and the shot ends, which after an eternity, which I think I'm imagining is like 9-10 minutes, and it surely has only been 30 seconds. And so then he like put the camera goes back in place. He goes, "That was fantastic. That was awesome. Thank you. Okay, let's do another one. Come up with something else." And I mean, and I'm going, "Oh my god, this guy, he's testing me, and I'm going to die." And that was my first day.
Wow,
that was my first day. It was a tremendous amount of fun. He was a really, I have to say, he tested me. But he was incredibly supportive, director. Like he did this thing. It was interesting when we were on the set. He said, okay, so Neil Patrick Harris is in this movie and Jayma Mays is in this movie and Hank Azaria is in this movie. And so he said, they play their characters. And as the actors who play those characters, they're going to have ideas of when something works, when something doesn't work. He's like, I need you. You play the Smurfs for the purposes of this film, of this filming.
He know that was going to happen from the get-go?
Yeah,
or,
he knew.
Okay.
He's the one who auditioned me. It was Jordan, the producer, he said, I want real reactions from the actors. Okay. So I need an actor there who can do characters that are going to be like the characters that we're going to animate and are going to eventually be voiced by celebrities. So he basically Raja pulled Ming Li and I aside, and he says, "I want you to be the voice of these characters more than just being their voice. If something doesn't work to you, or if something doesn't feel like true to Brainy, or true to Gutsy, or true to any one of these characters, I want you to speak up. I want you to say something. I want you to say, I just don't know if this would work." And that was such. I mean, you know, these people, they really made me feel like I had a like I was one of the stars who had actual input on in the production, in the process.
Is that, that was something amazing. That's typical of these movies that blend live action and animated characters?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I'm not so sure. I don't know either.
From what I understand, and somebody told me on the set that it is typical for them to have somebody reading the lines for the actors who are on camera.
Right, but not somebody involved.
Typically, it's like an assistant director or like a production assistant or somebody who is just going to, you know, read the lines for
you. Oh my God, I spilled urine right. on your cupcake.
Right, exactly. Which is a line from the movie.
Yeah, that's
amazing. You
that
might have got a trailer.
Maybe.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, so this was, I feel kind of unique. Yeah. And just a tremendous experience.
So you then were working with each of the celebrity voiceover performers.
Yes.
Who was the most annoying? No, I'm just kidding. Jonathan Winters.
No, I didn't get to work with Jonathan Winters. Jonathan Winters was never there. Like that's the thing is that like, you know, here we were filming this whole thing and I knew who was going to be eventually playing the characters that I was playing, but I came up with my own. I mean, I think my Papa Smurf ended up sounding like an Americanized like version of Sean Conn.
Papa Smurf sounds something like this, like almost like a Santa Claus Sean Connery sort of character.
Both of red hats.
You know, along those lines.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, Neil would always laugh whenever I would come out with a Papa line. He goes, "Oh, hello, Miss Smurfy Penny." Like, you know, he would do this, like, we would start doing this, like, 00 Smurf thing, and it started getting a little ridiculous. It's very funny. But, I would say, tremendously friendly, fun, good people worked on this movie. And, but I would say the most interesting person to work with was Hank Azaria. Because here's a guy who does this thing that I want to do, mm-hmm. right? I mean, this amazing like world of
doing
creating
the Simpsons for so many years.
He's like I think he's every character now,
right? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You know, and my favorite thing. So I'd been on the set for I think 2 or 3 weeks before we were all shooting stuff, you know, with Patrick and Jaima, and then I have my first day with Hank Azaria.
And he
plays Gargamel. Right?
So he's live actor
live
as
action
well
Gargamel.
As Neil Patrick Harris.
Exactly. And a real cat that also is computer animated sometimes.
I love that.
So, exactly. So I get introduced by Raja to Hank Azaria. And the way he introduces me to Hank Azaria is he says, "Hank, have you met Sean Kennan?" And he's like, no, I haven't. And he goes, "Sean Kennan is our man of 1,000 voices." Okay, uh-oh. which is the way somebody talks about Mel Blanc, right?
Yeah.
So Mel Blanc is the man of 1,000 voices. Huge, ridiculous person to be, you know, like, use that word, you know, about me. And then to introduce me to Hank Azaria.
No pressure.
Yeah, exactly. No pressure at all. And then to introduce me to Hank Azaria as that person. And so he's like, "Oh, well, how about that?" And I'm like, oh, and I'm God. Thinking, and you're very good,
Jesus.
Too. You know, you're an acceptable voice actor as well.
Did you say to him, you say, "Yeah, you're great. I don't think you quite have 1,000 voices."
Right. Yeah.
So then the whole day, my whole day with Hank Azaria, it's a scene with Gargamel and Papa. And the only line I have the entire day is, "No!" That's it. All day. Hank Azaria, man of 1,000 voices. This is our man of 1,000 voices. All day.
"No!"
Take 25. Okay, go ahead, Sean.
"No!"
That's it. All day. And I'm thinking, this is great. This is fantastic. You know, like, not at all like the camera pass day. Like, couldn't
right,
Hank have
right,
been
right,
there
right,
on the
right.
camera pass day when I was doing, like, 4 characters ad-libbing dialogue at once? No, yeah. So that was funny. Good times.
So, did you told me something about, I was joking when I asked, and then I was not surprised when you responded about, I said, "Is there a dance scene?"
There was a dance scene. I hope it comes back. Oh, they gave Gargamel this great song. There's this great song. It's like a thriller type song. And, you know, I hope I'm not giving anything away. Check with Sony for this. But there is
they
a fantastically choreographed. We spent 3 days shooting this choreographed dance sequence for the end of the movie. And it's like, and "Don't You Love to Hate Me," I think was the name of the song. "Don't You Love to Hate Me." And
oh,
it's
it
like,
wasn't Smash
"I'm the
Mouth?
Man You Love to Hate." No. It was completely written for this movie.
Wow.
And
by
and
Smash
was,
Mouth.
And it was cut. And, by Smash Mouth. No, and it was cut. And I, no. But I was in there as a dancer because they didn't know that I took dance for 15 years.
Oh.
Because I'm a little bit of a schlub now. I'm a heavy man. I've added a little bit of weight to my frame since my dancing days. And so, like, they were like, oh, my God, you dance. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so they introduced me to the choreographer. They asked me to try out to, like, you know, learn the moves. And the choreographer's like, well, we're going to put you in there with all the dancers, which was a mistake. I have to say, you know, I have danced. I know how to dance, but I don't look like a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So so we shot a 3-day dance sequence that I hope
DVD
it
extra.
Survives on the DVD. Yeah. Man, that thing is going to be sweet.
Were you at all surprised, or were you like kicking yourself thinking about the cost at any point in time when they have this 3-day dance sequence and you're like, how much is this costing?
They came in under budget, I think. I think really? the director's assistant, Julia, she was telling me that they came in on time, they came in on budget, they did pretty well.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Like, I was like, wow, and the dance sequence that we cut and like all this stuff, it's tremendous. That I'm pretty impressed. I'm impressed. The whole movie business impresses me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's just the level of camaraderie, and like you get together with all these people and you are making this one thing, and there are hundreds of people there. I will never look at, this is my first film, so it was like, this is my first time on a set. I mean, I've been an extra in things, but I've never, like, done this kind of thing. And so, like, you know, you have a really intimate moment, you know, where you're, like, on just, like, a really tight shot on somebody's face, and it's very sweet, and it's very intimate, and there's, like, hundreds of people, like, just staring at that person. It's incredibly intimidating. Because once they say, okay, action, and everybody quiets down and looks at you, you know, I mean, not that the camera was ever really on me. I did get an on-camera scene, a short scene with Gargamel. They were happy with what I was doing as the Smurfs.
Oh, nice.
And so there was some talk about, like, could he be, like, one of the other 99 Smurfs, right, between my agent and, like, them. And they did this really smart thing, and I don't begrudge them for it at all, because, like, you know, they basically did this thing where every Smurf that is not part of this particular storyline is that gets seen at the beginning is also a celebrity, so that if they go forward and if they go, you know, maybe there's a Smurfs 2, they've got some other celebrities, you know, you've got like John Oliver playing Vanity,
right?
You've got you know, you've got all these actors, all these great Pee Wee Herman,
Paul Rubens
plays Jokey.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, it's like you've got all these people that you can draw from now. And I was like, that's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jordan he's a smart producer. So, you know.
Are other human characters from Smurfs in it? Like Father Time? Mother Nature?
No, Mother Nature or Father Time. No, what was
Johann.
That? Prince Johann. Yeah. No, he's not there. Although, apparently... And I don't know whether this was like an early... Man, you have so much trivia. I feel ill-prepared.
Yeah.
But Johann, apparently, like one of the first times I ever went on IMDb to see like the cast breakdown and to see if my name was there.
Mm.
Maybe. I mean, maybe it was a search of my own name. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
You had your assistant do this?
I was doing the drunk searching again. Again, as I do and want to do. So I'm on there and it says Neil Patrick Harris as Johann. So
whoa.
I think there was some like idea that like the humans they were meeting had some character names pulled from the original.
Interesting.
Like, or not the original, but I mean the movies and the TV show and stuff like that.
My heart just skipped a beat.
with Johann?
Yeah, I mean that beautiful linking.
Even if it's exactly.
Subliminal, it's beautiful.
Odile, is that like a character from,
sure,
from the original?
Odile, yeah.
Is it
Asriel's love interest?
Was I think so. Yeah,
I have no idea.
Well, Joel
no
is idea. Writing a book on the Smurfs.
He is. Wow,
it's a matchbook,
a really short one.
There's, yeah,
and it says Smurfs, and then it's written.
That's
done.
The title
I just wrote it just now.
The title, the body, and the conclusion are all the same word.
Right.
Now, has this led to new work for you?
This has led to a lot of new work. And, you know,
what's hilarious is,
like, all of this is stuff that I can't talk about. So it's like, I live in a world that I have no ability to
it's
actually
like when you work for the government and you can't
now.
Tell
it's like,
what you're doing.
Because, yeah, when you work for these movies, you know, so it's gone on to me doing similar roles in other movies, not necessarily being on set, but being there for when an actor is in the booth and recording. They want another actor, and they may not be able to get the entire cast together. Now it's right. Like everybody's got schedules that are insane, and so like they're off in different countries and different places. And so, you know, having the two actors who have a scene together be in the same place, I guess, is just impossible to schedule. And which is good for me, because what ends up happening is I get to go and I get to record with these celebrities, and I get to record all the other characters while they're playing one character. And so it's a tremendous...
Yeah.
It couldn't be more fun. And it couldn't be more right up my alley as far as like what I've always wanted to do. But then, you know, the reward for it is a healthy paycheck, but also... just
more extravagant parties,
something I can't talk about. Ooh. You know, like it's like it's always something I can't talk about until the movie comes out, and then I'm like, well, I was a little bit of part of that.
So you know? Have you always wanted to be, you said it's been like a dream of yours, you always wanted to be mysterious?
I've always wanted to be a man of mystery. Yes. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. It's that the dream of like playing a lot of different characters, of doing animation. I mean, when I was a kid, it's funny, I went away from it. I tried to do legit acting and did some turns on like Law and Order and things like that, and little things here and there. And wanted to do stage, fell in love with stage, and wanted to do musicals and all these things. But then I always went back to, and I used to do this as a kid, I used to try to get the perfect Mickey Mouse. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a kid, I always wanted to try and get Mickey Mouse, Goofy, Donald Duck. I could never do Donald Duck. Mm-hmm. But like I always tried to get those characters down. And so I would like walk around the house, like as a kid going, oh boy, oh boy. You know, like and try and do all these things, right? You know, and like do their like isms. Mm-hmm. And so then I started like moving on to like trying to do like Bugs Bunny or like Goofy or like, you know, all these different characters. And that's something that I didn't remember until I got my first like voiceover audition of like trying to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that's something I started doing. Like I did this short-lived show called, what was it? It was on Entertainment Network. Same guy who did
Anne of Green Gables.
That's it. E Entertainment. It was the same guy who did the Celebrity Deathmatch show.
Oh yeah.
Right. And Eric Fogel, I think is his name. And he did this show called Starvalence. That's the name of the show. Starvalence. It lasted like 6 months, and I'm sorry, 6 episodes. 6 months would have been a long time. So this was 6 episodes. You know, it was a great idea for a show, but the confines of animation are such that you can't. They wanted to animate the gossip column. They wanted to animate the basically what was happening in current gossip.
So how many times did you have to play Lindsay Lohan?
Oh wow!
And have you worked with her in the booth on any of your secret projects?
I would love to work with Lindsay Lohan in the booth, because she's kind of special, kind of trashy. That
she's gonna play the young Smurfling,
right? She's gonna be Smurf too. So you know, I worked on this show, and basically I would just get calls, and my agent would be like, "Hey, do you do a good David Hasselhoff?" And I was like, "I have no idea."
Sure, yes.
And I was like, but of course, as an actor, you go, yes, I do. And like, and I would call in, and I would do this, and I would do something on, and they would have you ad lib as David Hasselhoff on the phone, or ad lib as, Billy Crystal is one of the other ones that I did. And so they just have you ad lib, and you call up, and you just make something up, and then you get called in to do this show. And so I had worked on that, and that's when I started realizing, oh my gosh, this is what I used to do as a kid. I used to like sit there and just try to be somebody else or try and do some other voice.
I did something very similar. Yeah. And my big study was the Pink Panther. Try to nail that.
He still can't get it. He still can't get it.
Yeah, man. I've never. That is a hard voice.
Wait, let me try.
Wow. That was pretty close.
I've done better.
No,
that
no
was
good.
Close. It sounded, you know what? It sounded like more of like a maroon panther.
Exactly.
Or like a mauve
fuchsia.
Right.
A mauve panther. Yeah.
Right.
Not quite pink.
And more
kind
like
of
a
salmon. More salmon.
It was more maybe more lynx as well.
The salmon lynx.
Salmon lynx. God. His evil cousin.
Salmon lynx, which I think is
oh my God.
Man, those are tasty. I love salmon links.
You have your own business.
I do.
And it's a voice over performance, acting.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's
martial arts studio.
It is.
Wow, it's a martial arts studio too.
Kung fu every day. Nice. Mm-hmm. No, my business partner and I are both. My business partner, Julian Rebelletto, also known as Julian Dean. He was the dad on Daria. Years ago.
Yeah. Right.
And we were moving him out of his apartment one day, and he said, I don't want to work for anybody else, and we're smart guys. We can do something. And I was like, well, I've got this closet. I thought about making a recording studio. And he goes, let's do it. And within a month, this is August 1st, 2001. This is almost exactly 10 years to the day, right?
Yeah.
That we started this studio in my closet. And now we have like a full-fledged audio post facility where we like work on Dora the Explorer and Go Diego Go and like all these like Nickelodeon things. And
that's where you put the clothes now?
That's what we do. What's that?
Nothing. And so that is your, it's your job.
Night job.
Yeah, that's my job. That's my day job.
Okay. So, Sean.
Yes?
This has been more than a delight.
Oh, yeah, please. It's been incredible, actually. Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, it was really great having you here.
And I just want to know, is there anything that you'd like to plug? Any projects?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing to say. Mm-hmm. Because I actually have, enjoying working so much, obviously, because I have a recording studio and a voiceover career, that I am trying to make both work at the same time, which is practically impossible. I am trying to actually help people produce animation. I have a friend who I currently am helping him produce some stuff that he's written. This guy named Brad Aldiss, very funny comedian who's one of those incredibly funny people that you meet who like knows everybody and is incredibly talented but hasn't, for some reason, nobody knows his name yet. You know, it's like agents know his name, like casting directors know his name, but it's like he's going to break through. So he's this friend of mine, and he has a lot of incredible ideas. One actually project that we're working on currently is this one called Heavy Petting, about a petting zoo, which I'm very excited about. It's very funny.
For adults?
It is more of an adult cartoon. Yes. And it's just an incredible idea, and he's got a lot of great, very funny comedians behind it. A lot of people who like who also work behind the scenes, like writers for things like the Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you heard of that show, but like
Saturday Night Live.
I think that's it. I'm pretty sure. but like writers
it happen on Saturday.
It does happen on Saturday.
You're fired, Alan.
So a lot of comedians who became writers who went on to do more behind the scenes type stuff. Mm-hmm. So he brought them in to record some of the voices for that, and I helped him produce it, and I helped him do the audio for it, and record the audio, and we'll help him do the audio post for it. And that's what I want to start doing. I really want to nurture people who have ideas, hopefully animators who have ideas, and nurture that.
You have. Right now, said that to a universe of listeners.
Yes,
who are animators.
Call me, universe of listeners.
they are out there.
And I hope they are. And that's the thing is that, you know, I watch a lot of, and you and I have talked about this, I've watched a lot of animation, independent animation, that is so incredibly cool and has so much, so there's so many original ideas and original ways of doing animation out there that are. Largely seen on an international scale, but not really on, on an American scale. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, when you see things that are done by, the incredible things that are done by students or like people in other countries, it's like, you know, the one thing that really like has hit me is like that the audio and the sound design kind of suffers a bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, and this is nothing against, the independent animators out there.
No, it's
but sound
very true.
But yeah, because frankly, it's expensive. I mean, to get a recording studio, to get an audio post facility, to do the work, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. I own one, and I know what I charge people. Mm-hmm. But that being said, my business partner and I, with our animation background, we just want to work. We want to work as actors. We want to work as a studio. We want to be involved in something new and in something good. And so, what we want to try and do is try and nurture that talent and find people out there who may have good ideas, who want to do short projects, and find the time to help them do it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, in the end, it's like, because we want to work on both, in both capacities. We want the studio to work as a production facility. We want to work as voice talent. You know, it's just, we like that kind of stuff.
Where can people go?
They can go to hyperbolicaudio.com.
Okay.
It's the name of my studio. Hyperbolicaudio.com.
We'll put that up on our website.
We're based in New York. We do ISDN, so we can record people from different places in the world. But yeah, I mean, we'd love to work on new ideas.
Okay.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we do stuff for money during the day. In the evening, we'd like to do stuff that sort of nurtures that other side, the creative side,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully makes us all money later. You know, it's right. Like, but that stuff is, it's experimental. It's independent. It's gonna, you know, take more time to
charity animation.
Exactly.
That has the potential of, we'll just say it, changing the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's change the world together.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank Woo! You, Alan. Sean thank Cannon. You.
Yeah, Sean Cannon. Good job.
Thank Woo! You, Joel.
Sean, and computer will see you out back to our green room.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much.
So, that was some good info. Yo, did you?
Yeah. No. It was good.
Alan, you did sound a bit something. Off about your voice.
A little. Well, I got a little sick during
the last like quarter of that. But
towards the end, I got a little frog in my throat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Nothing to worry about.
I am.
Thank you for your concern.
So not concerned.
I know you're not.
We have some very exciting news.
Well, what's the news?
As we now bring people, I'm sure most people are now probably tucking in for a nice nightcap.
Okay.
They have a bourbon in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say. Yeah. Absinthe in the other.
Uh-huh.
And they are thinking of how am I going to drift off to Slumberland the best way.
I would probably drink both.
Oh, yeah. That's one option if you're holding them in bed.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That thing is going to help.
All right. What's the thing?
And now that I'm thinking of it, it's probably just going to elicit more excitement and you're going to be up for a while. We are about to launch.
Mm-hmm.
A brand new
rocket into space.
Friends are forming animation forum website.
Oh, the website.
Or as finally. I say in Minnesota, website.
Is that Minnesota or is that more like
Mark Hoffman?
I know.
That's my
reference. I was thinking about Mark Hoffman too.
He says pin for the thing you write with.
Yeah, the thing you write with is a pin.
But
the color is white.
Yeah, white.
White.
It's like you're about to hawk a loogie. I do not understand. But
just wait a while. Where are you going with this, Joel?
Where? So, we look you, for buddy. That.
Yes.
And by look, I mean wait for us to send you a link, those who have links to. But please, if you don't know, if we know how to reach you, please check us out on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Frenzer Foreman.
Animation Forum.
Animation Forum on Facebook. Check us out there. Sign up. Leave us a note. We like you.
Twitter.
Twitter as well. Twitter. Does it work with... No.
No, it doesn't quite.
Twitter at Frenzer Foreman. All one word. Two capital Fs, but I don't think it matters when you're typing into Twitter. Daily, folks. Daily. Quips about...
Hourly.
Every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A new quip.
From Joel.
About the world. That Alan approves every single one I send out.
No, I do.
So check us out. Leave us a line there. You know what? Check us out on LinkedIn.
I don't know. Just do it, yeah.
And Bebo.
We're totally on Bebo. And Flickr.
Flickr, Friendster, MySpace.
Google Plus.
We've used Microfiche before, I think.
Yeah,
Check us out on Microfiche.
Go to the library. Look us up.
And
use your Dewey Decimal.
In the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah. Yeah.
Telnet. And CNC.
Yellow Pages. We're in the Yellow Pages as well. Yeah.
So that's it for now, everyone.
Dude, seriously.
Right.
Transmedia.
Transmedia.
We're fucking serious about that.
Transglobal. Transdimensional.
We're seriously transmedia. All right, that's all I guess.
Good night, everybody.
All right, bye.
We love you.
Bye.
Sean Kennan, Smurf montage special bonus at the very end, and go Smurf montage. Grouchy.
Anybody reading these signs?
Brainy.
I think the chances of us surviving this are about 325,000 to 1.
Gutsy.
Quiet, scared the brains.
Papa.
That's right, my Smurfs. Eat your Smurf berries.
Clumsy.
Hey, Papa, I got the Smurf you're looking for. Whoa! Look out! Whoa! Watch out, Smurfs!
Johan.
I say, I'm not even in this movie.
The Stork.
Ah! Ah!
Smurfette.
You know what?
I'm putting you on the spot. I'm like the director. What are you going to do, Sean? Come on, impress us.
I kissed a Smurf and I liked it.
That was perfect. That was exactly like Katy Perry. Jokey.
Hey, Clumsy, I got a present for you.
Azrael.
Ow, ow, ow.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Grace! Grace, don't be fooled by their cuteness!
Joel Haley Osment.
Joel Haley, who is that?
From Sixth Sense.
I see dead people.
Perfect. John Hamm.
Would you like a scotch?
Wow, that was good.
Was that good?
Yeah.